Amazon 5-Star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by Ed Helms. Tonight's review, Tactical Jacket. I was living a simple life. Didn't get out much. Then, I bought this jacket, and everything changed. Women came flocking to me from lands domestic and foreign. On the 245-day sailboat voyage home, I was attacked by a shark. I knew it was the jacket he was after. Giving up the jacket in exchange for my life. 5 stars. Amazon customer 69. Shop the perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. It is March 19th, 1974. The Senate floor. Rising to speak, Senator James L. Buckley of New York. His remarks to begin. There is one way and one way only by which the crisis can be resolved and the country pulled out of the Watergate swamp. I stop there to welcome the author of a new measure of James L. Buckley's life and times, John Bolton, writing at the National Review Online, National Review Magazine. Mr. Bolton is a former ambassador to the United Nations for the United States, former National Security Advisor. John, a very good evening to you. I only had occasion to speak to Senator Buckley once later in his life when he'd published a book about Congress and both parties working together for the greater good and smaller government. It was a delightful conversation, although given the partisan fury in Washington, it seemed out of time. His remarks in March of 1974, what was his intention and how was he heard, John? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, Buckley saw that Nixon was in deep trouble. The arc of the investigation from the Senate Watergate Committee to the House Judiciary Committee was pointing in the direction of impeachment and then conviction in the Senate. The country was being torn apart. It had already been torn apart by the war in Vietnam and other domestic issues. What Buckley thought was required was an act of statesmanship by Nixon to resign the presidency, an unprecedented act, and rather than put the country through the agony of impeachment and trial. And Buckley was he was actually the second Republican senator, the first real conservative. The first had been Ed Brooke of Massachusetts right after the famous Saturday Night Massacre when Nixon fired Archibald Cox, the special prosecutor at that time. But it was Buckley who crystallized the thinking of many Republicans who could see what the evidence was of Watergate and the cover-up. They may have been partisan, but they did recognize facts when they saw them. And the damage that was being done to the country as a whole after Buckley spoke out led many other Republicans to come to the same conclusion. And the way Watergate ended was when Hugh Scott and Congressman Rhodes from Arizona, the Republican leaders in the Senate and the House, and Mr. Conservative Barry Goldwater himself went to Nixon and said, "You can't survive a vote in the Senate." And that's what convinced Nixon to resign. But it started with Jim Buckley on that Senate speech on the floor, almost alone within the party. But it started others moving in the direction that eventually resulted in Nixon doing exactly what Buckley had recommended 5 months later.
You somehow moved from the U.S. Army at Fort Polk to working on the Hill in and around Senator Buckley. For people who worked for him and then eventually for him. What were your duties, John?
Well, I graduated from law school and was practicing law in Washington, D.C. But in law school, I'd been a research assistant for Ralph Winter, who was a great constitutional law scholar, ultimately a Reagan appointee on the Second Circuit. And Ralph had come up with a constitutional argument about why campaign contributions and expenditures should be protected by the First Amendment. We summarized it in a bumper sticker sort of way that say money is speech, which is anybody who's ever done politics and who knows money is the mother's milk of politics knows that money is speech. And so it was very controversial. All the high-minded people, all the media, all the liberals, all the Democrats thought that money was just dirty and that politics was dirty and that only reforms that resulted in what else? Public financing of elections would clean the mess up. Buckley thought the limitations on contributions and expenditures, the public financing, the enforcement mechanism were all unconstitutional, and that's what led to the lawsuit Buckley against Vallejo. Ultimately went to the Supreme Court, striking down significant parts, unfortunately not all, but significant parts of the post-Watergate so-called reforms. That was really one of the most courageous things, probably the most courageous things that Jim Buckley ever did.
What I remember in our conversation about his book about fixing Congress was that he was a man who seemed, to my reading, out of time, because he always talked about working with his colleagues. He didn't talk about Republicans or Democrats. He addressed the House in the same way he addressed the Senate. Was that the way he was at that time, John, back in the Nixon days?
No, absolutely. In fact, in Buckley against Vallejo, we had 12 plaintiffs. Individuals and groups. And so Jim Buckley was the lead plaintiff, conservative from New York. Gene McCarthy, former senator from Minnesota, the guy who led the anti-war Democrats against Lyndon Johnson in 1968 in opposition to the Vietnam War, co-plaintiff. We had the New York Civil Liberties Union, the Mississippi Republican Party. I mean, you name it, we had people from all over the spectrum. And that was what helped demonstrate that these laws really had the effect of protecting incumbents against dissent from all across the political spectrum. And that was something that Buckley was able to help pull together. It was really quite something. And as I said in that piece in National Review, if you could hear the conversations that I was privileged to hear between Jim Buckley and Gene McCarthy, there's nothing comparable to that in the Senate today, I can tell you.
And where did it go, John? You've observed this for 40 years or more. Is there a moment where it slipped away that Buckley was seen as out of time?
Well, I think it occurred over a long period of time. My everybody would have a different place to start. I think where it really started getting personal and partisan and divisive was in the efforts to defeat the nominations for the Supreme Court of William Rehnquist to be Chief Justice and then Bob Bork to be an Associate Justice. I thought that's when we really reached the depths of personal attack and vituperation. But of course, unfortunately, that was just the starting place. It's gotten a lot worse since then.
Mr. Buckley, Jim Buckley, brother of Bill Buckley, left the Senate after his defeat in 1976. He was defeated by Daniel Patrick Moynihan. Did they have good conversations afterwards, the two of them, over the years?
Yes, they did. In fact, they had debates in 1976 during the election, and I remember in one famous debate they were discussing some subject, and Moynihan said when his turn came, he said, "You know, this debate is getting very ugly. It's getting very ugly, and Jim Buckley is making it ugly because every time he refers to me, he calls me Professor Moynihan." And he said, "If he keeps it up, I'm going to call him a businessman." And, you know, that was the kind of humor that you could still have in debates like that. There's not a lot of that going on in today's debates, that's for sure.
And it's missing. James Lane Buckley, March 9th, 1923, August 18th, 2023. John, I'm going to pretend that James Buckley is an inspiration to new senators and that we can return to the comedy that existed for his time in the Senate. Is that a bridge too far, John, or can we imagine it?
I think we have to imagine it because, you know, look, we've gone through cycles of partisanship and personal attacks in this country throughout our history. We are at a low point now today. There's no doubt about it. I hope we're about to turn up here, because if we don't, the consequences for the country are really quite frightening. It has nothing to do with abandoning principles. It has almost everything to do with the way people act. You can argue about policy all you want, but when you turn to personal attack and condemnation, people lose sight of what ultimately the constitutional system we have is all about.
John Bolton, I'm John Batchelor.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.